I'm the second in line in my family. When I was in high school here at Richland, I was the best Sanctus bell ringer at All Saints Episcopal Church. In high school, in the cafeteria, a couple of ladies came up. One of them, named Patty, had a Bible in her hand, and she would hit me over the head with it. The other one, Rebecca, was party to it all also. And when I got to college, I went through a period of time where I was struggling. First time I'd been away from home for a significant period of time. Our family unit is a fairly tightly knit one. And I wasn't with my brother. My older brother and I were about 15 months apart, but we were almost raised like twins. We were just constantly together and still have a very good relationship. But he was in a different dorm than I was. So I was struggling my freshman year in college. And I got to, right during that period of time, was you had the Jesus people. There was a guy out on the mall at it up in Pullman. He was from Spokane. He was a long-haired hippie. That's no two ways about it. He wasn't a college student. He was down from Spokane handing out tracts. I, at that point, gathered all the tracts that I could. And just trying to grab hold of stuff. And during that freshman year, multiple times I prayed the sinner's prayer. Multiple times at night. And eventually I hooked up with a crew of Christians. They called it the K House, the Queen Ania House up in Pullman. And it was a sort of a non-denominational type affair. And one of the dentists in town had gotten saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit. And he opened up his home to all the kids. So started going to his Wednesday night. Would go out to the doctor, the dentist's house. He had a pool in the basement. And they would cover the pool and put chairs on it. Very interesting sort of setup. I got baptized in that pool that spring. Filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled. And actually, that fits in with where I'm going this morning. So, thank you, Jim. (Clears throat) You've heard me talk a little bit about, I've been referring to 1 John chapter 2. It's verses 12 and 13, where it talks about little children, young men, and fathers. And what has been on my heart for a while now has been growth, spiritual growth, our spiritual growth. We are preparing for eternity right now. So the processes, the decisions that you make today are, it's going to have an effect on eternity for you. Read a note in some article that Karl Marx had said that the path to happiness starts with the elimination of religion. And I was just thinking, boy, is he going to be surprised? The effect that that has on his eternal destiny, that decision that he made. We have a better outlook. So, don't get depressed over that. Okay. Let's see. Let's talk about, this has been one of those interesting sermon preparations. It still hasn't come together, so. I'm going to talk about two things. I'm going to talk about process. I'm a science guy. Forgive me. So I'm going to... The Bible talks about justification. Therefore, we are justified by faith. Okay? It's not of works. We're sanctified. We will be glorified. If you go to, if you want sort of a reference for that, do about Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. That'll give you that general idea. The second piece in this is what I referred to earlier in 1 John. You have young men, you have little children, you have fathers. The justification portion of this, being justified by faith, that's a short period of time. Because it's a dividing line. You're either in or you're not. You've either accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior or you haven't. Now you may go through a process. I went through a process, a weeks-long process to turn my life around to the Lord. Others, it's instantaneous. They're, you know, come to the altar, that's it, and they go on from there. Okay. But it is a short period of time. And as a little child, what are you doing? You're learning new things. You're learning about a whole new system, a whole new way of life. And so there's a foundation that you have to have established in your life. And what does that foundation look like? Now, there are several things, but let's go to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. There it talks about, okay, the writer to the Hebrews is talking about, talking to people who have been Christians for a while. And so he says, excuse me, you need to stop with the foundation stuff, and you need to go on. But the foundation stuff is important. For little children, they need to understand. What do we do with little children? We teach them things. We teach them things that they will need later on. So, in the foundation, in Hebrews 6, you have repentance from dead works. You've got six things, six items. And if I can find them, I will read them to you. There we are. Let us leave the elementary... See, I'm on page 3 already. So you're doing good. Let us therefore leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, or faith towards God. Instruction about baptisms, that is plural. The laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So these are things that we need in our foundation. We need to understand these things. One of the keys, I'm just going to take a rabbit trail real quickly. Resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. That one isn't really talked about that much. But there are consequences. And in eternal judgment, you will get... Some will get in essentially by the skin of their teeth. It will be as if by fire. I would encourage you to not go down that path. As you are looking at your life, as you are evaluating your life and your walk with the Lord, I want to encourage you to be open to the change that God has for you. Okay. So, you have your foundations. We need to have those established. If you have questions about any of those things that we just read, it would be good to spend time with the Lord, spend time with people who have, who would be able to instruct you, give you some guidance to help you in those areas. Once you have your foundation, you've got... This next part is the long process. It's the sanctification. It's making holy. It's setting apart. It's cleaning you up. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. It says, somewhere on here, there it is. This is what the Isaiah son of Amos says concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains, and it will be raised above the hills, and the nations will stream to it. I believe that that is referring not to necessarily Israel. I think this is a spiritual Judah and Jerusalem, and the Lord's temple is a spiritual temple. Many peoples will come and say, "Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob." And this is the key. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. This is the attitude that I would encourage for you. For you to understand, to be able to know, to be able to walk in the paths of the Lord. And part of this is you have to find out what's important to God. What are the things that He wants us to do? Sorry, this is just going to take a little rabbit trail real quickly. The minister, when Jane and I got married, said he could see the Lord looking down and seeing George and saying, "It is not good that George be alone." Amen. We got married in a church, and within 5 years of us getting married, that church was going through a major leadership conflict. And Jane had been in that church for more than a decade. I'd been in there for not quite 5 years or so. And we had to discern what was our part in all of that. That was not an easy thing because we were part of leadership. We were in that church. We were deacons. And Jane had actually lived with the associate pastor, and they were good friends of ours. So we had some decisions that we had to make. We had to discern God's way in all of that. We had a prophetic word that was given to us less than a year after we had gotten married. And it said, "There will come a time when others will go, but you will stay." We had a standing invitation to go with the associate pastor. We tried to act as peacemakers in the conflict. That did not work out well for us because things had just gone too far south. And so we were ostracized for trying to step in. But given that we had had a word from the Lord that we would be staying, we had prayed what we should do. And we did stay. Another pastor was brought in, and we supported him. He wanted us to be elders. We did not feel that we were to be elders. We accepted we called it an elder pro tem. And we were able to support and help the church continue on for several years until another pastor came by, came through, was brought back in about 10 years later, and we were released. We were released to go at that point in time. So it's important to hear. It's important to understand what God's will is in a situation. That is part of the sanctification process. You are learning God's ways in the midst of it all. The scriptures that were very important to me during this period of time actually was the Sermon on the Mount. That is one way that I was able to understand God's purposes better. The Sermon on the Mount is rather interesting because it's three chapters, Matthew 5 through 7, and it covers a large number of topics. The interesting part about this is that Jesus starts it out with, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you," in every case in those scriptures, each one of those sections of scripture, it takes it from an outward manifestation and puts it into an internal motivation. What is your motivation in doing this? When you give, do you give to be seen of men? It says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, if you have an ought against a brother, you leave your gift at the altar And you go and you get that squared away. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. Again, talking about possessions at that point in time. So as you are growing in, you're going through the sanctification process, you are taking the outward activities and you are having them dealt with, having your motivations dealt with. You're becoming a young man. One of the things that young men have, it talks about in in 1 John, it says that the word is alive in them. You know the word of God. God can bring up scripture to you so that you can apply that in the situation. Herein lies the challenge. I want to take briefly a little step to the Old Testament. Give you two of the, judges. One is Samson. One is David. Samson is credited, interestingly, there are some places where he is actually called out, I believe, in the New Testament. But he wasn't following God's word. There was a separation that he was supposed to have between he and the uncircumcised. And he chose to get involved anyway. Now, the 's, from the outside, that does not look good. And I think for the purposes of this illustration, I'll leave it at that. That he did not follow the Mosaic law. David, young David, on the other hand, he had the attitude, we've got a Philistine who is challenging the armies of the living God. That should not be. I'm going to do something about that. Saul, he went to Saul. Saul tried to get him all gussied up with some heavy armor. David was not, it didn't work for him. He could not fight the battle with somebody else's stuff. He had a relationship with God in a certain way. He knew how to use a slingshot, because that's what he would use out tending sheep. And he used that to win a significant victory that day. Samson won a significant victory also. David's lasted longer. There is doing it God's way. You have a longer effect. There's scripture that says that the sins of the father are passed down to the third and fourth generation. There's also a scripture right close by that says the blessings are passed down to the seventh and tenth generation. Okay? The effect, if you follow God's way, is longer lasting. So young men, and that's in a figurative sense, in the Old Testament, in the biblical writing, the reference to men in these cases is generic to male and female. Take a look at where you are at. We have had the opportunity at this church to be involved in some rather interesting activities. We've been involved in dreams and visions and other spiritual experiences. I think those are some of the things that are alluded to in Hebrews when it says we need to get beyond foundations. Let's go on to maturity, okay? Praying for people, seeing miracles in people's lives. There's a variety of things that are available to us that we can take part in because of our relationship with the Lord, and we can step into new realms. Need to make sure that our foundation is secure so that we don't get some of this stuff, dreams and visions and some of these spiritual experiences. Well, I didn't learn about it in my science class. And we have to be careful about not getting sidetracked. And that's, I guess, one of the things that I want to encourage each one of us in is that we are, I don't want us to get sidetracked. I want us to be able to finish well. But even with the unusual things that we can participate in, just by being able to do spiritual warfare, by having our character improve, we can raise the standard, we can raise the bar in our place of work. People can point to you and say, look at him, he or she is a person of integrity. You can rely on that person. That in and of itself is a testimony to the Lord. And even when you go through difficult times, and even when you make a mistake, you can receive forgiveness, and you can say, as in Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation. You receive that forgiveness, and you can have that weight taken off. And others are going to be able to see that. And they're going to be able to see the joy that you have, the hope that you have, and be drawn to the Lord. So I guess the question that I've got is, are you ready to take another step? Are you ready to take for the Lord to take you by the hand and go expand your horizons spiritually? It is open to you. It is open for you. We have we've come a long way, Jane and I. Haven't been married quite as long as Roger and Rebecca, but we're close. We'll be hitting 40 years next year. And about a year and a half ago, I was getting frustrated with the roots from the tree next door. I'd be mowing and I'd be running into the roots. It just was. Our mowing strip was buckled because of the roots from the tree next door. And Jane, the spiritual one, I was thinking of moving. I've had it. Jane, the spiritual one, was hearing God say, you know, some of the changes that you want to make, they won't happen unless you move. And we agreed that it was time to move. We'd been in the house 26 years. But it was time to move. We finally, it took us a long time to, you remember the number of trips to Goodwill we made? Anyway, that's another story. We had a lot of stuff. This last fall, we got into a new house. A couple of weeks ago, Jane was commenting, you know, that change that it's been occurring since we got into the new house. So are you willing to take a step with the Lord to change, to grow? To become closer to being a father or mother in the kingdom of God. Do we have any altar ministers this morning? If you can come up. Dan. Thank you. Just going to pray right now. And Father, there are Lord, there are vistas ahead of us that we have, that you have before us. Some of it will not occur unless we take a step in growth. So Lord, I just pray that we as a church will choose to grow, to take the challenge, your challenge, to see what's over that next hill, that more people might have life as a result Amen.